It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Brought to you in part by Trailer Sales Alabama. A great selection of high-quality trailers at great prices. Financing available. Trailer Sales Alabama on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, with reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast, here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along as we are always moving towards the next thing in the outdoors. And can you believe the next thing is bow season starting in the state of Alabama?
It's crazy, isn't it, Sean?
I mean, last thing I knew, weren't we just talking about snapper? I mean, and now we're talking about bow season?
It's crazy. I mean, you know, that's what I tell people all the time. There's a season for me every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no off season for me. No. Every weekend, I've got something to do in the outdoors.
Yeah. Anybody who tells us they're bored around here, you and I look at them like, huh?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it's not that way if you just like deer hunting, mm-hmm. or you just like bass fishing, or mm-hmm. you just like saltwater
fishing.
I'm
jealous of those people, too.
Yeah.
Because they can super focus on that one thing.
One thing, yeah. But I'm not that way. I mean, I like it all, every bit of it. There's no aspect of it that I don't like. And, you know, snapper season just being over with, I mean, it's, you know, terrible.
Yeah, we got that. Although Florida's got those days.
Yeah, they got 3 days, I think, and 3 weekends or something like that.
And you made a scamp run, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
I heard.
I went with Mark Kennedy and Brian Bailey, and Brian Bailey Jr. went, mm-hmm. and your neighbor, yeah. Jonathan Graham, went. Anyway, we had a good scamp run. Sure did. We caught, I don't know, probably, I guess, 12 or 15 scamp. Caught some snapper and some amberjack.
How shallow have you ever caught scamp?
I guess.
I mean, I know it's a deep water game, but yeah. I always wonder how close do they ever get?
You know, I guess 170, 80 foot, maybe somewhere around in there.
Okay.
I guess
probably, but usually y'all are set up fishing how deep?
We were probably 250 foot, I guess. Somewhere, it might have been 300 foot at one time, but 250 foot, somewhere around in there.
And those are one of my favorite to eat, and I just never had the boat to be, you know, it's, you know, I think I've caught 2 scamp in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had the boat to be somewhere, you know, unless I go with somebody and catch one. Love eating them.
Boy,
love catching them.
They're good. I had some Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I had them fried, had them grilled, and I even did some scamp throats.
Hold on, I'm checking my phone. Checking my phone.
Unless you Tuesday I thought I sent you pictures of them already cooked, not ate.
No, I don't. No.
No pictures.
Got no invite to come over and eat or anything like that. Just checking.
Well, you did get an invite to go fishing, but you was out of town.
Yeah, I had to go to a wedding.
Yeah,
and,
lucky
so,
you.
Yeah. But that's in the rear view. I don't have... I got a few things on the schedule trying to work around here, but and it's got a lot of stuff going on. But right now it's a very busy time, and as it's been for me. I mean, I when working on food plots and all that, this is a process for me that kind of goes on. You know, well, it started. I mean, with beans, soybeans, and all that starts back in April, May.
That's right,
and it's continuing now. Hopefully today we'll get some fields planted, and we can talk more about this because, I mean, we mentioned it on the show, and I get stopped everywhere about this throw and mow. Let me say something real quick about this. I am not God's gift. I didn't write the book on to throw and mow. I've studied the guys that wrote the book, and I've educated myself.
Sure.
I didn't invent this. I didn't come up with this. And this all goes back to what they're doing in the regular ag world with no-till farming. You know, and trying to, so it's not something I concocted, but it's something I studied for some years. And then about 4 years ago, started implementing it and have been a big fan ever since. And it's been successful. One property that I have to hunt on, I have built, and to give you an idea, this is something to build topsoil is the basis of this.
Yeah.
And Western Washington County, where we are, pretty poor soil. And poor soil that gets dissed under, it gets to be really poor soil. And so I started trying to make a change there. And then the benefits are like not having to disc and a couple other things. But the key to the whole reason to do this is to build topsoil. I said something to, I was at a my son's soccer game this last week and talked to somebody who was standing there, you know, another guy I know, Fred Abon. He said something about, we're talking about throwing mow. I said, when's the last time you saw an earthworm in your green fields? He said, yeah. Never. I said, so what's that a sign of? You know, if you think about the rich soil, if you have a compost pile, if you have a big hay pile of rotten hay or leaves in the woods, you dig it up, what's in there?
Yeah, worms. Worms. Big time, yeah.
Worms are there because that's rich soil.
Yeah.
Worms are in rich soil.
That's right, yeah.
When's the last time you saw a worm in your green patch? And people are like, I haven't. Well, okay, so I use that as that's a tell.
Yeah.
That's a tell of the quality of the soil. So what throw-a-mow is, the problem is it's not an immediate, you know, like so much in this world, we want to be able to run down and get a bag of such and such from the co-op, sling it out, and it fixes every problem.
Yeah.
Doesn't. But, I mean, we have talked about the importance of liming, and then we'll talk about fertilizing. But throw-and-mow is a long-game kind of approach to building up topsoil. But you see results in the first year, you're starting to see results. You also see the results of not having to disc.
Yeah.
You know, saves time there. And so it's you know, I think it's going to get more and more popular. There's something, and I told people, they said, oh, I don't throw-and-mow everything because soybeans, corn, chufa, stuff that has to be buried deeper. Yeah, I still disc. We have a disc, and we disc fields. And
unless you've got a no-till drill or
if
something.
If you have a drill. Yeah. Right. And there's so many ways to look at this. Listen, you can do this. If you could play this game, the throw and mow or the no-till, you can play this game at some high level.
That's right.
I mean, you can get no-till drills, and that you can actually – by the way, you can also rent them from some co-ops.
That's right.
You can rent them from some co-ops, or if you got a big, thick wallet, you can buy – a no-till drill, you know, maybe one day I'll find, you know, then they'll find them used and this and that. And no-till drill is great because it takes out some of the steps here. But the poor man's version of this is what I do. And that is to come in and sometime, I don't know, 2 weeks to a month out from when you want to plant, go ahead and kill your fields off with glyphosate, you know, with Roundup or some other brand. Cheaper.
Right.
Kill those fields off. Now, I've said in the past, I do go and mow during the summer just because I like to be in the woods too. And it helps speed up the process of building soil. It's just like when you run the mulcher on your yard and you're putting grass clippings back in your yard, making the dirt better.
That's right.
So I do it once in the summer. But then when that grass is, hopefully when I come back in to spray it, that grass is like knee high or less.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I just don't want it all up over my head in the tractor when I'm working and messing up with the hopper.
Yeah, and that wouldn't work with the throw and grow either.
Right, because if you're throwing and you have grass so high that you don't get a good spread for your seed. So I should say that. If you need to mow it, if you got got some place that grows Johnson grass 8 feet tall, then you'll probably want to mow it and then come back in and spray it.
That's right.
But then you're dealing with picture of field that is, that's when you're finished here and you're ready to plant, it's anywhere from maybe mid-thigh, you know, or lower height.
Yeah.
But you want some height. You don't want it mowed down low.
No, that's right. You want at least,
this grass.
To 2 foot tall.
You need this grass.
That's right.
Okay, so then when you come back in, it's a couple feet tall, you spray it and you kill it. Now you come back, you know, when you're ready to plant, and you're going to go in there, and you're going to broadcast spread your fertilizer, your lime, if you hadn't limed or whatever, you should lime, but your soil amendments and your seed.
Yeah.
And this goes off the fact that most of the stuff we plant for deer in winter patches, they're small seeds.
Yeah.
They don't have to be very deep. Wheat, oat, clover.
They don't have to be. All they need is just touching some dirt.
I mean, how many times have you
looked? Close to touching dirt.
How many times have you looked in the back of your truck or seed buggy or whatever after y'all planted, and there's wheat growing on metal? Back there in the back, right?
It would grow on the highway, and you see it all up and down the highway because it falls off trucks and everything else, except the vehicles run over it.
Right. So
it'd be growing on asphalt.
So it'll grow for a while just with the energy it has in that seed pod until it, you know, and then it's getting energy from the sun. So with these small seeds, you're going to go in, you're going to put your fertilizer in, then you spread your seeds. I will say this, whatever the ratio is, and I think we all end up throwing too much seed as it is. In the case of throw and mow, I would do that, continue to do that. Like if it calls for, I mean, we're just people, you know. If it calls for 2 cups of sugar, you put 2.5 cups of sugar in. if it calls for 100 pounds, you know, 50 pounds an acre or 100 pounds an acre on the seed, maybe 150.
Yeah.
And in the case of throw and mow, that's probably even more valid because there might be some seeds that don't get soil contact. But the cheapest part of what you're talking about, fertilizer and all these things here,
is
your seeds. Seeds are the cheapest.
By far is the cheapest.
So if you want to increase, say y'all, you know, at your place you were planting 100 pounds to an acre seed, whatever your ratio is, you may do 150 in this technique. Yeah. So you come in, put your fertilizer normal, put your seeds out, and now you've got, picture this field. It's like Mike was talking about, you know, it's a foot to 2 feet high of now dead grass because you burned it back with glyphosate. Now it's dead grass. And you know when that grass dies, you can end up seeing dirt underneath it. Everything pulls back and kind of shrinks some.
Sure.
So you go through that field, ride through with your hopper, and you spread all that fertilizer and seed. Then you come back through with the bush hog, lower it down, and you bush hog the field.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now, if you want to run, you know, and sometimes I'll run a cultipacker over it just to do it because we have one. But in years where I haven't had access to the cultivator or run out of time,
you don't need it.
You don't need it.
No,
and it
you
comes
don't
up.
Need it.
And it won't look, no, it's not going to look like that field we're used to that's been disced down to dust and has been cultipacked into perfect flatness. It's going to have the grass you just mowed on top of it. But guess what? You're going to come back next week and the wheat, oats, and all that are going to be pushing up through that thatch layer that's holding in the nutrients and holding in the moisture.
Yeah. And you said a key word there, two things, oats and wheat. Mm-hmm. Oats and wheat will grow like that. Mm-hmm. Just throw it on the ground, and it will grow. A lot of people say, well, oats won't do that. Well, the oats
will.
Yes, they will. So,
and that's
want people to know that.
And that's the mixes I've been planting in my fields is wheat and oats and clover.
Yeah.
And just, you got to think, I mean, you look at a clover seed, that darn thing is so tiny. There's... your soil, there's little cracks in your soil that we can't even see that those seeds go into.
Yeah.
And so you do that and you roll on. That's what I'm doing hopefully this afternoon and moving forward, getting stuff planted. That's coming up. Of course, time to get up in a tree and hunt. I'm not ready. I'm not, you know, I was shooting the longbow some in the summer and then have had about a month and a half where I haven't been able to. So I got to get back on the practice bag there.
Yeah. Well, I haven't. I'm probably not going to bow hunt. I got too many other things going on. We got one more King Mackerel tournament, the Fanatic.
When's that?
That's going to be the last weekend of October. What is that, the 26th, 27th, or something like that, Friday, Saturday. I'm be getting ready for that. And then I'll be up the country. I've got a lot of things to do up there, shooting houses and planting. We're going to do that this weekend.
To be honest with you, I mean, I'm behind where I normally am in planting.
Yeah.
But we hadn't missed rain. I mean, there's been some areas have gotten rain to the north of town too, but it's not everywhere. I mean, like, you know, one area of Washington County got 2 inches of rain, the other got none. So we hadn't until now had something that's predictable.
We're still in plenty. We got plenty of time. Yeah. You don't have to get in a big hurry. Here's the problem is next week it looks like we've got a pretty good bit of rain coming.
That's why I'm rolling today.
Yeah, so you need, especially in the Black Belt, you have to do that now in the Black Belt before that rain comes. So once that rain comes and that field's disc, you're done.
Yeah.
The only way you can get in there is with a buggy.
Yeah, you go into subsoiled places ATV. In the Black Belt. It's the tractor might be there till next year.
Yeah.
Hey, coming right back, we'll switch gears for a second, take you to the freshwater, and talk to Captain Wayne Miller. Although it's not freshwater fish, I was hearing reports, not only is he catching...
He's catching everything.
The green trout, he's catching the redfish and the speckled trout and the flounder and all.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. Coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. And by the way, too, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/FM Talk Outdoors. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, actually. When you go there, it'll want to auto-populate, which is good. We love you going to the Facebook page for FM Talk 106.5, the main Facebook page. But make sure you go to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on Facebook to get more of the outdoors talk and pictures we put up. And we'd love to get your pictures as well to share. And we share pictures of this man quite a lot, Captain Wayne Miller, checking in. And he's usually, holding a bass or two in those pictures, if not some of the other denizens of the Mobile Tensaw Delta. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Not as good as you. This is like, you're on the fish all year long, but this is that time of year that it's just, y'all, I've been with this man, and it isn't fishing. It is catching. And that's what you're doing. You're catching.
Yeah, you know, it's a great time of year. And, you know, I know we mention it on the show all the time, but I I still think it's worth noting, man. We're blessed to live where we do and have access to just a tremendous fishery. And you know, we've had some pretty unique conditions here over the last, you know, week or two, in that, you know, we're starting to get a little bit cooler weather in the mornings. But, you know, we've had days where it's warmed up and, you know, the water temperature really hadn't dropped down like we typically see in the middle of October. But man, it really hadn't dampened the fish much, I can tell you. The, you know, a lot of people catching fish in the middle and lower delta. And, you know, we hadn't seen the real big push of bait back up in the creeks yet. A lot of people are still, you know, primarily focused on the main rivers. But, you know, the water clarity is absolutely gorgeous. I was telling somebody yesterday, I believe, that, you know, I've never seen the Mobile River any prettier than what it is right now. It's just it's a green, you know, it's just absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, you can go as far as, you know, Dead Lake or even up to I-65 on the Mobile, and the river's just loaded with pogies. I mean, there's shrimp, there's bait everywhere.
That's what Jason Smith was telling me the other day, that he was up there and he caught a bunch of redfish just south of the interstate and above the trestle on south of the interstate. And he said, man, the bait was everywhere up there. The pogies were just schools and schools of them, and shrimp flicking. He said it was unbelievable amount of bait up there.
Yeah,
that,
right.
That's good.
Now, it's almost, it really, to a degree, it almost gets spooky, Mike, because you worry about, man, what am I going to be able to throw out here and get these fish to eat? Because they have got so much, you know, available to eat. But, you know, it's like it is every fall, you know, and it'll just get progressively better. I mean, you know, this weekend, obviously, we moved into a little bit of a nip tide. But, you know, by the middle of this coming week, we move back into a good, strong tide cycle. And really, man, all the way through the first week or two of November, we've got some phenomenal tides. And so, I think what we'll see is just the traditional, you know, fishing just get better here on the Delta, especially down along the causeway. And you'll start to see those launches fill up down there as the weather cools off.
Yeah, but what's interesting, though, is, you know, we always, it's probably because it lines up, that the weather starts cooling off when we go into the October, our driest month, and we get that push of salt water. So you could almost say, oh, it's the cold weather that gets the shrimp to run up or something. But in this case, like you said, it's been abnormally hot into this point, and the shrimp are still up there. So it's got to be a salt thing.
Well, it's the salinity of the water,
it really is, you know, because you know, the last couple of days, I mean, the main rivers, the water temperature, you know, on up in the day is still in the, you know, 84, 85 degree range. So that for the middle of October, that's really high.
But you said the bait doesn't care because it's there.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing I will mention to everybody, you know, it's kind of been unique in that with the conditions that we've had, and especially with these days, we've had so many days that were just bluebird. I mean, you know, and typically for the bass guys, man, that's a kiss of death. You don't want those bluebird conditions. But we've also, at the same time, had some pretty good wind. And I know the inshore guys, Bobby and them, man, they fuss and cuss when that wind gets to howling on them. But it's a real blessing for the bass guys because, you know, it breaks that surface up. And the spinnerbait bite, the bladed jig bite, I've been throwing that thumper made by Keith Lott, bladed jig, and been doing fantastic with it. But
explain
to
people what that is.
Baits work really well in windy conditions.
Explain to people what that bladed jig is so they'll know, because I didn't know what it was till Jason Smith showed me the other day.
Yeah, you know, it basically just looks like a jig head. And most people put a trailer of some type on it, you know, either a grub or a twin tail. But then attached to the eyelet on that jig is actually, it just looks like a little curved, flat, lip. Which
metal.
Is independent from the jig.
It's like a piece of flat aluminum.
Right.
Yeah.
And, they're painted different colors. One thing I really like about the baits, that thumper that Keith Lott makes, is he makes a lot of them in the gold color, and I really like that. I think it makes a difference in this brackish water. But, with that in front of that jig head, it creates a lot of vibration. And, it's a real versatile bait because you can take it, you change a skirt. So you can change that skirt color, and then you can, there's a vast array of trailers that you can put on there depending on what kind of grass or what kind of cover you're fishing. And like I say, with these conditions where you've got a lot of wind, that tight bait or a traditional spinner bait or even the Sallies, work really well. But, I guess one of the keys over the last week has been, and I think you'll continue to see this, you just got to, if you're going to fish here on the Delta, don't go out there with the mindset, well, I'm just going to take a Sally and go throw it in the skinny water. You really got to go out there and be willing to bounce around and try some different baits. And they're wanting to pile up. The fish are really wanting to start to congregate up, but that hadn't happened yet. So, I've had to be pretty versatile, but, when you get on them, you can really catch them good. But it's not been a one bait, like a DOA or a spinner bait. I've had to, from day to day, go to different baits. And so you just got to keep an open mind.
So tell me what you're catching right now. Are you? I know you're catching bass. Are you catching plenty of redfish, too, or speckled trout? Are you catching any flounder?
Yeah, catching quite a few redfish out in the main rivers. I mean, the Mobile River is just loaded with redfish. But, the one thing I've come to accept here on the Delta is I think everywhere's loaded with redfish. It is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining a bit because I love to catch them.
Yeah.
But out in the Mobile, I've been catching a lot of fish on crankbait, catching redfish. And I know Jason actually has caught some pretty good reds on crankbaits.
He did. That's the only thing he could get them to hit was crankbaits, he said.
Yeah, man, that's pretty unique when you can get old Jason to put down that fly rod and some of this other finesse stuff he does.
Yeah.
Sightseeing. Get cranking like an old bass guy.
Yeah.
So
it works.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And for people that are just going out, and they say, well, man, I'd love to catch some redfish on a crankbait, but I don't really know where to go. One of the great things about those reds out when they're in the river like they are right now, you can go to any cut, any point, anywhere you've got, a ditch, a main creek that's coming into the river and fish that crankbait in the mouth and on those points. And, you may have to try some different depths. You may have to throw, one that runs from, the surface to 3-4 feet and then try some that run down to the 7-8 feet in the mouths of those ditches or, creeks. But, just bounce up and down that river. And the great thing is typically when you catch a good red, he's not there by himself. So,
yeah.
You can work that area pretty good and end up catching quite a few. I know Jason's had some pretty good luck this past week doing that.
Yeah,
how do you
approach that? Let's talk about that. You come in, and how are you positioning a boat? I'm thinking about where ditches are coming into the main rivers in the Delta. Right now I'm thinking about South Delta, but maybe this would be true anywhere. But the ditches coming in, the sloughs coming in to the main river. It's let's just for sake of argument say it's a 90-degree angle there. I know it's not really, but for this layout, 90-degree angle. Here comes the ditch in. Here's the river, and that is it dependent on the, first of all, I guess, let's say the tide's falling. So the water's coming out of the ditch and out into the river.
Yeah. How that do you would be better, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, of course, well, yeah. But how do you, approach that?
It's amazing, Sean, because most of the time when you have that scenario you just described, most people would think, okay, these fish are going to be piled up on the lower point because the water's pulling, and that's where they're going to feed. Well, sometimes that's the case, but there are a lot of times they'll be stacked up on the upper point. And the majority of the time when you're fishing these crankbaits, the way most people approach that is they're gonna come up on that area and, you know, stay off of it. You don't want to get up there right in the middle of it, you know, and spook fish. You know, you're throwing a crankbait, so you're having to get that bait down, so you don't want to get right on top of it. But, you know, I always, you know, start working in the center. And then, you know, I'll progressively fan cast and cover the lower point and the upper point. And at the same time, you know, I'm moving that boat around to hit those at different angles. But you really need to pay attention to when you get a bite, when you catch a fish, because that pull, that direction, whether it be from, you know, from the lower or the upper point on that cut, that pull that you had on that crankbait, a lot of times all you got to do once you get that fish in, get that boat repositioned and make that same pull again with that bait, boom, man, you'll catch another one. And, you know, and you can do that numerous times. But, you know, there again, you have to be, yeah, sometimes you have to be creative and you have to, you know, there's, it's amazing because a lot of times you'll see, there'll actually be a progression of boats. You'll pull up to an area and, man, there's a good cut right there and there's a boat on it. You're like, dang. And, you'll watch him fish it for a little while and then they leave. Well, then you pull up there. And when you leave, you'll see another boat. And, you know, these fish see a lot of baits. And one thing a guy I fished with 30 years ago taught me, and we used to do it up on the Alabama River on some ditch mouths up there. And I was always amazed because everybody would kind of fish those the same way. And this buddy of mine, he would just, he'd ease the boat right up in the ditch mouth. And you can do the same thing and fish out. And that's something that you see very few people do. So
yeah, well, because you're always worried about, I mean, you're always worried about getting, I always think if you go in there, you're going to blow them all out.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, man, I mean, I've seen him do it so many times. And it works on, you know, all species. You can do it with the redfish because especially on the weekends when you got places like that that you know they're getting hammered. I mean, you know, a prominent, you know, cut on the main river, you know, a river like the Mobile, you know it's going to get hit multiple times on a Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, you may want to pull up there and try, you know, several different color depth ranges on your crankbait and then really, you know, take the time to maneuver that boat around and make sure that you work it really good from different angles. And like I say, even going inside and fishing out, and a lot of times I'm hesitant to even share that information because, believe me, a lot of times it really works.
Hey, Captain Wayne, awesome. can you hold on a second? We got to run to the break. Can you hold on?
Yeah, that'd
all right.
Be great.
All right, coming right back. Board Captain Wayne Miller. This is FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, brought to you in part by Trailer Sales Alabama. Wait till you, we can't tell you the details yet, although Mike got a sneak peek of what we're about to roll out for the go play out. I can't even say the name. I almost said the name of the promotion. I almost got myself in trouble. It's
but here's
you're
the
like
problem.
It. Don't get us in trouble here.
Here's the problem. I can't win.
Nor can I.
Like all and these neither things, can Wayne.
No, right. So we got all these great, very cool. Actually, Wayne can.
Wayne can?
Yeah, because Wayne is. I mean, I think he can.
Oh,
I think
good.
So when this comes out, you just need to register as Wayne Miller.
All right.
I can't if I give any more details, then I get in trouble. So we won't do that yet. But it's coming up in the next 10 days. Yeah, but no, next 7 days. Yeah. We'll be telling less than 7 days. We'll tell you about this promotion.
You want your name in the hat is what we're trying
yes,
to say.
Yes, so it's really cool. Yeah. Really cool stuff. If you're just joining us, too, talking to Captain Wayne Miller, talking about bass and other fish catching going on in the Mobile Tensaw Delta right now. And we were focused in that last segment talking about redfish, number one, and on crankbaits. And I had you walk us through approaching that, the telltale, here comes the creek, here comes the ditch, hitting the main river and how to approach that. And it was an interesting tell, too. You said, the normal habit, everybody is going to think about, oh, those fish are behind whatever the break is. It's a sandbar, it's a tree or whatever. But quite often, what you said is God's honest truth. They're in front of that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, and you see that, fairly frequently. I mean, it's, they don't necessarily set up on areas like that, like a bass does. And you really have to have a little different mindset when you're out there primarily targeting the redfish. And it's something that I don't do that often. I mean, most of the time I'm out there and, a mixed bag is just a blessing to me, though, man. I love it. Whenever you got customers, nobody's going to complain about catching some nice slot reds.
No, that's for sure. We all love that. Although there's some of y'all in the bass world that go, dang it, yeah. I got to catch this redfish, which slows me down for catching another bass. But, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, do they complain when you go out in the middle of the river in that big school of cavalier and let them catch a cavalier?
Well, Mike, it's funny because I've had people before, and you'll have them busting in there. You see them, they're looking at them, and I'm like, you don't want to do that.
Yes, I do. Run me over there. Yeah.
And sometimes, they can't stand it. You say, okay, all right, we'll make it happen. And then you go over there, and they hook up with one. And about 30 minutes later, they're like, let's not do that again.
Yeah. Hey, I want to get back to talking about throwing these crankbaits for redfish and bass as well. You say crankbaits. Let's go walk down the aisles of a tackle shop here. When you say crankbaits, that could mean like 1,000 different crankbaits. I mean, how do you pick out a crankbait for the Delta?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because, most people, when they start talking about redfish, they're either talking about using live bait or jigs and, or like even on spinnerbaits, that you've got the redfish magic spinnerbaits, but when it comes to crankbait, there's not really any out there that are just primarily targeted for redfish. So if you walk into, like, one of the tackle stores, they're not going to say, this is, primarily for redfish. So, therein lies the challenge because there is thousands of different crankbaits. One thing that I would encourage people to do is buy crankbaits that are good for both the bass and the redfish. Mm-hmm. And, I don't get paid by them, but I'm a big advocate of the Bandit crankbaits.
How did I know that?
Just because of the fact that they work.
Right, yeah.
Phenomenal baits. They're relatively inexpensive. You can buy them virtually anywhere, and they just do a super job. And you can buy them in the 100, 200 and 300 series. The 100 is a shallow diver. It's a square bill. The 200 is the most popular, and that's the one that I throw more than anything else. And it dives anywhere from 4 to 8 feet, depending on the, the length of the cast and the line diameter. But the 200 is the one that I use majority of the time. And then the 300 is an extremely deep diver, but it comes into play also in these cuts, and especially where you got a little deeper water. But from the standpoint of color, you know, that's going to be another challenge because you go, man, there's, you know, they make like 80 different colors in that, that crankbait. But primarily what I stick with are the shad colors, you know, the chartreuse shad, and even the crawfish colors that we use here on the Delta quite a bit work really well for redfish. And they actually make one of my favorite crankbait of all time to throw for redfish is a Bandit 200 and a color they call Mad Cow. And it is about the craziest looking color. It's a white crankbait. It's got these spots on it. It just, it looks like a mad cow. I don't know how how they came up with that name, but you know, I guess the secret, you know, to picking out a good color is just, you know, trying a few, and when you get bit, you know, stick with it. But you know, I know those colors work really well, like the chartreuse shad, just a straight, you know, shad colors, and the crawfish. And then, of course, that mad cow. But, you know, I would recommend those to anybody because, you know, you're not only going to catch redfish, you'll catch bass, specks. I mean, virtually anything that swims around here will eat those baits.
That's right. If they had a crab color, that'd be a good one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything, the bass, usually this time, are the bass having crabs in them when you catch them right now?
Oh yeah, man, and the crabs, Mike, are, you would think, you know, they're taking over the world. I mean, there are crabs everywhere, so it's it's just a great time to be on the water from now really until, you know, January. I mean, it's the time to get out there and start, you know, really spending some quality time on that Delta.
Yeah, best time to be on the water is between now and next year this time.
Yeah,
that's it.
You know, and thinking of you two talking, and I mean, some crankbait throwers, and Mike, he is a just loves crankbait. I watch him; he's whipped up on me with the crankbait many times. But you know, you said something, and you talk about colors, and I'm going to throw this in to the mix. I have been in the surf at Dolphin Island catching redfish on a Bandit crawfish color. Okay, that makes no sense. But. I think when you get redfish are in the right mood, they eat and they get. But you said something important. I don't want to miss this. People need to think about that depth that you're diving. I mean, that is a key. I mean, if you have if those redfish are at 6 feet and you're throwing a 100 series, you may never get bit.
Right. Yeah. And that's something else too that, you know, we mentioned earlier in regards to, you know, like on the weekends, the pressure. And one thing that I see not only with bass but with redfish too, a lot of times, you know, during the week you can pull up there and they'll be way up in the water column because there's not a lot of traffic, there's not a lot of things spooking them, and you can catch them, you know, on the 100 and the 200 series. And sometimes on the weekends when you pull up to those same cuts, I stay out a little further. And I'll go even to the 300 and get that bait down in that 8 to 10 foot range, and boom! All of a sudden, you're catching fish that if you were throwing the other two, you wouldn't catch.
All right, well, redfish are bottom feeding fish. I mean,
unless there's food up top.
Yeah,
because they're just
But they like feeding on the bottom. They're on grubs and their crabs and shrimp and whatever. On the bottom, so you know if you can get a bait closer to the bottom, a lot of times for redfish
they just like to feed too, though.
Well, that's true.
It's kind of like us.
They're out in the Gulf, they're on top a lot of
times.
That's
right.
They're versatile.
But, you know, one of the best baits that I throw to catch redfish on, and you know, I mean, I know Sean, you've laughed at me over the years about it, but man, that old watermelon chartreuse lizard, they absolutely love that thing. So.
That's, you know, Captain Wayne Miller's Swiss Army knife. That is his answer to catching it, and he proves that he can do it. But, hey, Wayne, what should I be throwing for this? Watermelon chartreuse. What about this? Yeah, watermelon chartreuse. What about the other?
But, you know, those same areas, if they turn off the crankbait, a lot of times you can pick that lizard up and work it slow. And primarily what you're doing there is just what Mike just referenced. I mean, these fish are bottom feeders. And a lot of times, man, you just drag that old lizard along there, and I don't know what it is about it, but, man, those reds, they will crunch them.
We're talking about bottom feeders. What about the flounder? Have you caught any flounder lately?
I have caught quite a few flounder, Mike.
And, yeah.
I mean, and it's amazing because the ones I'm catching are really nice ones. And the majority of those that I'm catching are actually on that lizard.
Yeah.
And most of those have been in the Mobile. I've caught some over on the rivers on the east side, but I've caught quite a few on the Mobile River. And, you know, it's nice to see them showing back up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, more people are catching flounder right now than what they have been. And one thing that people have to remember is November 1st.
No retention.
You cannot keep any more flounder the month of November.
Right.
So everybody's got to remember that. And that's going to be hard to do when people are on the causeway catching them and want to put them in the box, but they can't do it.
Yeah, we'll remind
they
folks
can
again.
Do it, but they can't get in trouble doing it.
You're not supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to forget about this part of it, the bass. You talked redfish a bunch. How are the are they normal football butter balls, or how are the bass looking?
Oh man, they're in great shape. I mean, they they've got, you know, we referenced it earlier, just there's just tremendous, you know, volumes of, you know, bait of all kinds. So, you know, these fish are in, you know, they're in great shape. And, you know, they're really starting to, I mean, we're just on the onset of this really major fall feed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they're, you know, but you catch them right now and, you know, they got shrimp, you know, in their gullet and crabs. And, I mean, they're really healthy.
I bought some shrimp on the causeway from a friend of mine that shrimps out of causeway the other day, 25 count, and that's what they're catching right now. But in about 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to be catching those 15, 20 counts, and then another week or two after that, they're going to be catching those U-12s. That's what I'm waiting on. Waiting on my buddies to catch U-12s. That's why I'm going to buy some more.
Yeah.
So they going the shrimp. What I'm saying is the shrimp are going to get bigger as the season goes now.
Yeah, right.
I just love looking at them when they got when you go to lip that bass and shrimp antenna hanging out the mouth and he's got so many in him that he's like almost spitting them up. All right, Captain Wayne, tell folks if they want to get a trip booked with you, how do they do that?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right, I'll let you get back to doing what you do best, and that is catching fish. Captain Wayne Miller, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right, coming right back. You ready to wrap things up here and head to the woods for me? Maybe
me
the
too.
Water. Time to get some patches planted so I can get that done so I can go catching with Captain Wayne.
Everybody's planting this weekend.
That's right. Be right back. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. Brought to you in part by Trailer Sales Alabama. More details about those folks and a great giveaway coming up very soon. And also, more of your pictures, our pictures, and hunting and fishing discussion, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Put the outdoors on it or you'll go to the other page, which is fine, but we want you on the outdoors page on this weekend. Also, reminder here. So it's if you're going to be hunting next week, you're going to be hunting over bait. Guess what? Stamp.
Yep.
Got to have your tag. You got to have your bait and stamp.
I ordered mine.
Not just corn. I remember we had the discussion last week. It could be corn. It could be molasses lick. It could be buck grub. It could be whatever.
Mineral lick.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. If it's an attractant.
Have your license.
A food attractant. You got to have a permit for it.
All right. All right. Got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. We're heading to the woods.
Right now.
Hopefully you and I will both be planted by next week's show.
Got to be, because rain's coming.
That's for sure. Yep. See you.